This is from Scott and Melissa. They came up and visited when we had their little get together a few years ago. I think you met them. Oh.
Okay.
And I know that Patrick was going to talk about some of the ups and downs of the cryptos, and he said, "Here's a rundown of the Ethereum thing." Scott covers this thing. He said Ethereum. This was the number two one, right? Shook up due to some large ICOs crashing the blockchain. ICOs, which is, what is that? Do you know?
No.
Okay. BAT, Basic Attention Token, $35 million in 30 seconds. Bancor token.
Well, I know it went from, right, it did crash to 10 cents or something.
They were doing $153 million in 3 hours, $100 million. These are just a few of the ICOs that are coming out in droves, causing the price of Ethereum to rise and fall, pump and dump, and compromising the blockchain.
Yeah.
Like Andy said, there is no middleman to lean against the wind.
That's right. All of this central bank. Right.
All of this crashing the Coinbase exchange and Etherscan.io and other exchanges made it impossible to get your money in and out of the market quickly.
Ooh. Right.
ICO, I don't know what that means. ICOs. Anyway, he said also, if you store your digital coins in a safe, hard wallet, thumb drive, like the Ledger Nano 5 or the Trezor, then you still have no way of transferring them to an exchange to sell them in time because of the delays. This is just one of the issues that have caused a confidence issue with Ethereum lately.
Hmm.
Ethereum is working towards a proof of stake concept that will end mining for blockchain creation as well. I do this for fun, and it's not a source of income for me, obviously.
Right. So he doesn't.
Yeah, he's thinking
around.
Doesn't
mind losing, right?
Right. But he's understanding. So if he's listening, so I believe don't know what an ICO
when
he's, is.
Well, I think that's an initial.
Oh, yeah. It's a. It's a.
That's what because the Ethereum is not a finite.
Right.
It's not a finite currency. It's an infinite cryptocurrency.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Forgive me. Yeah. I really can't say.
Sure.
But I know that in the past. We've talked about LETS, local exchange transfer systems. A sandwich shop wants to expand, so he issues a bunch of sandwich notes. And so you can bring it in later and redeem it for a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
You give him the money up front, he makes his expansion, and then everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
So the ICO is, I imagine, the same thing, where a venture that issues cryptocurrency issues these coins. I can't stand to call them that.
I know.
Why do they call them coins, man? There's nothing coin about them. Okay, forgive me.
Well, they just like the word.
Yeah, okay, so that's instead of an IPO, where initial public offering, you're issuing coins in exchange for money. So I think that's what the ICO in this conversation was designating.
Mm-hmm. 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Hello, I just heard you on WAR Las Vegas.
What? Oh, Wayne Allyn Root. Yeah.
That was you?
That was me. Wayne and I are good friends. We occasionally chat, and I did chat with him yesterday, day before.
I did not get the phone number. I recently came across the straw man scheme to keep ordinary people down.
Uh-oh.
Do you know anything about this? Is it true? Can I file a UCC-1 form and eliminate in my debt and mortgage?
No.
Don't do that.
No.
Don't.
No.
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 And no.
No.
Okay.
Unless you want to fight with the IRS.
For the rest of your life.
Yes. If you'd like to do that, then yeah, go ahead. Yeah, poke the giant in the eye. For me, no thank you. Don't buy into the straw man concept. Understand the UCC-1 commercial filing. Lean yourself up. I mean, that's basic. But as far as then not paying your debts because you have a superior title or superior lien, good luck with that. You know, it's just like if you recall when the mortgage crisis broke, right? We gave you five forms, if you recall, listeners. We gave you five forms that if you filled them out, took them to your lawyer, you could have your mortgage kind of disappear. And it worked for about, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months. And then courts trying to rearrange themselves and started ruling against the plaintiffs, even though the law was clear. And so now they made it harder to get this done. So very same thing is true here. Yes, it is true that technically, you can file a UCC, Uniform Commercial Code 1, financing statement against yourself and your assets. You go right down to the county clerk or the secretary of state and register that, and it shows up as a lien. So then if you owe somebody money and they go to seize your asset, well, they can't get it because it's lien. And there's a lot more to it than that. But suffice it to say that it's a very difficult way to exert your freedom. So I would urge you to caution, and more caution if you're going to consider the scheme. Okay.
So I recall this email from yesterday, and I wrote them back.
Good.
And I just said to them, on paper, it's technically accurate.
Correct,
the
yes.
problem is that people who teach these things, taxes, jurisdiction, UCC, and the rest of it do not understand that what Andrew has taught us, that if we have a birth certificate, social security
number,
file
a
tax return,
have a bank
have a
account,
card, Federal Reserve notes, that we are on the plastic, we don't have constitutional
You have an adhesion
rights.
Contract, yes.
So I wrote to her, I said, my recommendation is to pay all your taxes, take care of your family and your life by understanding the financial mechanisms. Listen to Andy. Most importantly, stay out of court in any conflict.
Hope this
helps. So I thought that was a good answer, right?
That was a great answer.
So she says, okay, many thanks, Patrick. It sounds sensible, but how do we become understanding? How do we become understanding the financial mechanisms in place? Hmm. Well, you listen to this show.
That helps.
We do not get taught anything about money in school or in life or hard knocks. My mother is 82. Her whole life is wrapped around her credit card department, CC department. It all seems like such a scam and rat race to keep us down. I lost my house in foreclosure, never missed a payment. I only had 40, something I paid down for the property. It turns out that the whole thing was a scam, Countrywide Home Loans and a B of A.
Yeah.
These loans were signed by the same people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We wish you were listening to the show 9 years ago.
So this whole
But you're listening now.
Yeah.
So you'll get an education now. And, you know, we welcome you to the World of Money family, right, Patrick?
That's right.
And, boy, you're never going to hear stuff like that here. So never going to give you a scheme where you're going to sign a magic form and you're exempt from everything that everybody else has to do. That's not going to happen.
So here's a lady that's been through it 8 years later. She's struggling. She's 58. I thought I'd be retired by now. Instead, I'm just doing my best to pick myself up, not to have a bad attitude, stay well and be successful. I do not have one penny saved, and I'm literally living day to day like so many other people in this situation. Can you recommend a book or anything to help me understand what I can do to improve my situation? Well, certainly, my dear, is listen to this show every week and listen to these archives so you can understand what Andy has taught us over the last 20 years and how this game works.
Yeah, learn about jurisdiction, learn about debt, learn about unsecured versus secured debt, and learn that just because you owe all of this money on your credit cards doesn't mean that it's not negotiable. So, you know, I urge people in this circumstance to contact their creditors, cut up your credit cards, stop using them, stop trying to protect a credit rating that you don't need anyway, and play hardball with these creditors much the same way that they play hardball with you. So, you know, realize that the only reason in the case of a credit card that you're paying that bill is because you want to. If you stop wanting to, then believe me, there are ways that you can avoid and get credit card debt off your back and never put it on there again. So I urge you to learn, educate yourself. No, there's not a single book that you can use.
Well, if you had to recommend one or two to for her to start, what would you send her?
Well, understanding jurisdiction is probably the most critical thing in anything you do in legal life. So the book, The Rape of Justice by Eustace Mullins, really explains jurisdiction a lot. And so a lot of questions relating to courts and law and money are answered by that book. It's a rather hefty read, but it's a good starting place for someone who wants to understand, you know, the entire system in a nutshell. And jurisdiction is the key to it all. If somebody starts calling you into court, you want to make sure they have a right to do that. And jurisdictional challenges are the only way to succeed.
But when it comes to Gov, the one we love, and IRS and all that, they do have jurisdiction, regardless of what people teach.
Well, yes and
I mean,
no.
Well, I mean, yes.
Within their own courts, Title 26.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
But anything
I mean,
with the IRS courts, yeah.
In the system, they have jurisdiction.
That's correct.
If you're on the plastic and not on
For you to remove yourself from their jurisdiction is difficult.
Yeah.
But people have succeeded, you know, by moving to Monaco and things like that.
Yeah, well, that's no fun.
Starting their own corporations in other places. So they're, once you understand jurisdiction, then you can understand when you're putting yourself in and when you're taking yourself out. So once you do that, then obviously you're in better shape than the person who has no clue how this entity got jurisdiction over them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Scott is listening. Hi, Scott. Initial coin offering is an IPO.
Yes, that's right.
He said it's like an IPO.
Only it's an ICO. Yes.
Jeez.
Okay. So that's what we thought. I read that right, but that was just a shot in the dark.
So that was what was going on with the Ethereum this last week or so. Huh?
Yeah. So people making initial coin offerings, and completely unregulated, by the way. No middleman, no central bank, nobody in the middle saying, oh, you can't do that. You know, you go dumping 350, I think that's what he said, 350 million?
Oh, yeah, it's just nuts.
In one shot and expect that the market's going to absorb that? No. I'm not surprised it went down to a dime. It was shocking to
see. It went to a dime.
A dime, yeah.
Just for a moment.
Still, it was there, having been hundreds of dollars before.
Yeah. Whoa. But now it's just... It's
too
back.
Breathtaking for me, thank yeah, you. Well, I prefer my safe...
Well, you're talking about getting an ulcer.
Yes, I can't do it. The roller coaster for me, I my stomach is just not built for that. That's why I take colostrum, by the way.
That's all right. Then you can do day trading.
Yes. So if you really want to simplify life, you know, nothing is better than rare American gold and silver coins, or even the nickel ones and the copper ones. You buy them, put them in your safe, and just go about your business. It's not going to crash to a dime while you're in there.
Then you just kind of breathe and have breakfast and stuff like that.
Yeah, without ignore the paper, ignore the nonsense. No, you don't have to go and cash in your exchange-traded fund. I heard the ETFs hit a new record yesterday. More people, more money invested in exchange-traded funds than ever before in history.
Wow.
And the idea that you can have a bond, right, which is a 30-year bond, and you put it into an exchange-traded fund and divide up the shares among people. And then you tell them that now that 30-year bond becomes liquid day to day. So even though you own one share of it, you can sell that share or buy that share on any given day without us having to sell the bond.
That's what an exchange-traded fund is doing, right?
That's what it's doing.
Wow.
And the asset underlying it is divided among the major shares, and you're allowed to trade them as you would a share of IBM or a share of anything else. So they're bundling these things together into funds, and they're selling these funds to the general investing public, and the public is buying them hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the trust categories in 1908 crash, and the trust funds in the 1929 crash, now we have an exchange-traded fund. And you want to really find out how liquid it is? You know, give yourself an Ethereum-type event, and you'll see quickly that there's not much strength in the middlemen who stand ready to buy these shares in the event of a market collapse.
Well, I bet that the Bugsy Siegels of the world back in Vegas 50 years ago, they're jealous at all the gambling mechanisms available today, you know? They just had blackjack and slot machines, man.
Yeah,
now you can just go on your computer and do it.
That's true.
And it's all legal. Wow. Okay, the BIS, the central banks, the central bank, these
yes.
are the boys.
Yeah.
They came out and said, here are the four biggest threats facing the global economy.
Climate change.
Well, we'll see.
No.
First, a significant rise in inflation could choke the expansion by forcing central banks to tighten policy more than expected.
Duh.
Duh.
That's number one.
What is that?
Duh.
Okay, so what are they saying
okay.
here?
So inflation is going to rage, and right. the Fed and the central banks of the world are going to have to tighten interest rates.
But like, Janet is raising interest rates.
Well, that's what their tightening is, right? When you raise interest rates. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So they're telling the world that we just may
inflation
have to...
is imminent,
yeah.
and the central bank's response to inflation historically is to raise interest rates,
right?
And that is a danger to the world economy. And it's not surprising to me that it's number one.
Okay.
We've anticipated it for years now. It's built into the cake.
And do they say that one of the reasons why inflation is going to be upon us is because they have been creating more dollars out of thin air?
No, they just leave that
off. They leave that part off. That was like an addendum.
Inflation is the greedy baker that's just raising his prices.
Yeah. Or McDonald's raising their burgers to $1.48 or something. Yeah. Okay. Second, and less appreciated, serious financial stress could materialize as financial cycles mature contraction phase, where in terms into a more serious and in terms of more serious bust. This is what happened most spectacularly with the great financial crisis.
Yes.
Well, I had no idea what they
said. Okay, so what he said is that suddenly your exchange-traded fund is illiquid.
Oh.
Suddenly you can't cash in your bond fund. Oops. Suddenly your money market is illiquid. The very things that people count on is, I can always just get money out of my money market account. No, you can't.
No.
It's not your money anymore. No. You've made an investment. So when liquidity dries up and the asset prices plunge, then suddenly balance sheets are altered in a way that you never dreamed of before. Well, I have this money. I parked it in a money market because they told me that was the safest investment. And now it turns out to be the most risky.
So they're actually telling the world that this could happen?
Yes.
Well, good for them.
Don't want to say they didn't warn us. And number three.
Number three. Let me get there. Number three.
If one and two weren't bad enough.
I just opened another new tab because I wanted to look at MZM, but we'll do that. Third, short of a serious financial stress, consumption might weaken under the weight of debt, and investment may fall to take over, may fail to take over as the main growth engine. There is evidence that consumption-led growth is less durable, not least because of it fails to generate sufficient increases in productive capital.
Yeah, especially not to pay especially debt-driven. Mm. You can't pay for the interest on the project that you just completed.
Mm.
So, I agree with them.
Okay,
number four. Because of the debt burden, is it dollar-denominated debt worldwide has doubled since the last crisis.
Here's their dig at the president. Number four, a rise in protectionism.
And populism.
Could challenge the open global economic order.
Yep.
History shows that trade tensions can zap the global economic strength.
They have no question about it.
Mr. Donald.
Well, since the rest of the world is getting their economic strength by tapping into the U.S. economy, and if suddenly we become protectionist and say, okay, Mexico, you're not going to take a $50 billion paycheck every year from the U.S. economy without paying tax, that's protectionism. We start protecting our economy, boy, look out. The rest of the world is in big trouble.
Look.
And that's number four. And you know what? I would probably put that closer to number two because we're in deep trouble. When we change our attitude and start thinking strictly about how things affect us as a nation and as a government and not how they affect China or other countries, we could wreak havoc on the rest of the world's economies because, it's our trade deficit, which is their trade surplus. It's their additional money to fund their growth and their economies that comes out of the U.S. economy. If suddenly we start redirecting it inward through means of a corporate tax cut, which draws the world's corporations back to the U.S., BMW's doubling their commitment in South Carolina and so forth. Even Walmart's talking about investing in U.S. manufacturing. So as more of that happens, naturally, in a zero-sum game, somebody else has to lose manufacturing. Somebody else's surplus suddenly becomes their deficit, not our problem. You can't sell more goods in the U.S. because we're protecting ourselves. That's protectionism, and it's not a bad word. It's just like populism. It means taking care of the people.
I just looked up Fred. Fred, St. Louis.
I'm my favorite guy in St. Louis.
St. Louis Federal Reserve. I just checked in the money with a zero maturity, and Andrew's taught us that's hot money.
Hot.
Money that you could just go this afternoon and get.
Yes.
Right?
You don't need to sell anything.
Of course, you wouldn't want everybody to do it at once because the whole thing would crash and burn because there's not $15 trillion available to give you. But
that's right.
That's another story.
But you think you have it? Just like the Social Security Trust Fund.
$15 trillion.
Thinks they have it.
$15 trillion.
Your money is safely in an account that doesn't require the purchase or sale of anything in order to be liquid. And that's getting to be quite a category these days. These bond funds where you have check writing privileges. So, give us your money. We're going to invest it all in 100 or 30 or 50, whatever, year bonds. We're going to buy Illinois bonds with your money. But you can write a check on it tomorrow and get the money out. And so people have viewed these now as safe investments because they have check writing privilege. They really didn't read the fine print. When the liquidity dries up, though, they're the least liquid of all assets. Uh-huh. See you in 30 years.
This is George. He is in Omaha. Oh, where Warren, well,
Warren is.
Yeah, yes. Say hi to Warren. He's probably at the McDonald's or someplace. He wants to know, with all the different cyber attacks going on in the world, can Andrew suggest anything we can do at home to protect us from getting one of these viral things? Because I know you're kind of geeky.
Yeah, well, okay, so here it is.
What could you recommend that people do?
Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
It's the only one. I turned you on to that.
I've had it for years since you turned me on to it. But wait a minute. The devil Bill Gates himself owns this thing. Why would I want him in my computer every night?
Well, because he knows what the vulnerabilities are in your computer. He built them in there. And they spend enormous amounts of money when they identify a threat. They send you a patch. You know, you get, update.
It does it 3 o'clock in the morning. Patch in.
So if you run a Microsoft's computer, uninstall every non-Microsoft product that is Norton
and all those things,
McAfee,
just uninstall those.
Kaspersky, I don't know, there's a bunch of them.
Uninstall those
and install Microsoft Security Essentials and give it the authority to update your computer whenever it needs to.
Because it can do it anyway, you give me authority, what does it matter?
So, and then that way, when they identify a threat, Microsoft identifies a threat to their computer, they're always, I mean, if you look at every instance, they're first with the solution. Here's the patch. And then when you don't even have to go and say, can I have that patch? They just send it. Make sure you send it to Patrick. He's on the list.
3 o'clock in the morning, they do
your computer gets the patch, installs it, and then the next day the virus is knocking on your door. Well, you've already installed your fix. And it's curious because the fix that's being unleashed on the world right now was patched by Microsoft 45 days ago.
Really?
Yeah. So if you have Microsoft Security's Essential installed on your machine and it's authorized to make changes whenever it needs to, you don't have to worry about anything anymore. Mm-hmm. Just let it do what it does.
Mm-hmm. And this commercial announcement was paid for by Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill, send us a check.
That's right.
Or,
Isn't it curious that you're using the belly of the beast, kind of like using debt as a blessing, to protect your computer?
Well, what the hell? Using their computer.
You might as well.
Yeah, if you're, you know, unless you're going to make yourself a Hackintosh, which is a hacked Apple, or you're going to run a Linux system, which for most people is very difficult to do, then you pick the number one target of hackers, which are Microsoft products. And then you say to Microsoft, of course, has the most to lose in having their operating systems hacked, right? So they're the ones spending the most to make sure that it isn't. I mean, not to knock the other guys, but they're only relying on your subscription fees. And if that's not enough to do the job, well, too bad. At least we got your subscription fee.
Well, so if you've got a Macintosh, what do you do?
Something different. An Apple computer?
Yeah, an Apple.
Yeah, I can't. Well, get rid of it. I'm not an
really?
Apple fan. Yeah, no. I just.
They are cool looking, though.
Oh, they are stylish and trendy. But they don't do a whole lot to protect you. Once you buy it, you're on your own. You have to come to them for proprietary tech, anything that you need. So most people run Microsoft PC-based stuff. If you're going to use a Microsoft-driven computer, then you should have Microsoft Security Essentials, and that's enough of that.
And that's free. It's boom, boom, boom.
That's the best part. Yeah. It's included. So as long as you don't have a bootleg copy of Microsoft, then you're fine. If you paid for your Microsoft system, like Bill Gates wants you to, then he's going to provide this support, and it's a very valuable asset.
Several stories out this week about Seattle. God loves Seattle. Man, you know, whew, whatever. But they did this whole minimum wage thing, and a couple of things have come out. This big study by University of Washington says this minimum wage thing they did up there, being the lefties that they are, God love them, lost thousands of jobs, and they did the math, and what happened was that they started to cut the people's hours, right?
Right.
They start to cut to people's hours. And then we had the story that they're going to, McDonald's are replacing 2,500 humans with digital kiosks like the ones that McDonald's replacing because they, this whole minimum wage thing that McDonald's is trying to get ahead of the curve.
That's right.
So the idea of a minimum wage, from your perspective, what's wrong? Why doesn't it work? I mean, it seems like the honorable thing to do to pay somebody more money if your corporation's making money, doesn't it?
Sure.
Doesn't
But if you're going to legislate it for me,
yeah,
and the economy or the marketplace does not allow it,
yeah,
I'm not paying for that extra dollar for that burger just because, you know, and Los Angeles is Los Angeles's minimum wage is scheduled to increase
$15, right?
No? Yeah, but I mean they're putting it in July 1st, I believe, like 2 or 3 days from now. So I imagine you're going to see the same thing in L.A. as employers forced to pay more, look for ways to cut their cost, and having you know robotics and mechanized workers. That's just one of the trends in that direction.
Uh-huh. Boy, this is kind of interesting. God love them. Carl's Jr.'s. You ever see those? I don't know if I've ever been there.
Sure, yeah.
They're unveiling a grass-fed burger, fresh, no antibiotics, no chemicals, nothing. Grass-fed burger at Carl's Jr.'s.
No.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're copying the Habit Grill, which is a California-based chain that does the same thing. So, yeah, that's what people are demanding. And, you know, when you start eating beef that's grass-fed and no antibiotics
no
hormones,
like
you're going to pay more. So
of course.
Our input costs are going to rise.
Of course, yeah.
When you start buying wholesome food, well, you're going to pay for it. That's all there is to that.
Yeah. Well, a couple more, and then we'll go. What do you think about big move Anwar could spark an epic oil natural gas battle. President Trump wants to open up Anwar. Now, Anwar, let's see if I understand. That's his place up in Alaska, right?
You ever been there?
No.
You know anyone who's ever been there?
No.
You know why?
Well, it's cold.
Because nobody goes there.
Well, the elk and antelope go there.
Well, yeah. There is assorted wildlife there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots. So the environmentalists don't like it because it's tapping this beautiful, unspoiled land, and I get that, you know.
You do.
Well, I mean, I get the idea. I don't like.
See, I tell the environmentalists to do this, then write a check, and buy it, and then tell people we have a most beautiful wildlife preserve here in northern New Jersey, Antler Ridge, I believe it's called, where these environmental groups have amassed hundreds of acres of secluded land in the Jersey Highlands. And that's it, hands off. No development. You can't bring anything. You can't do anything. Don't even think of coming in here. This area is reserved for wildlife and natural beauty and nothing else. I'm all good with that. I don't have a problem with that. But don't tell me what I can't do in my yard. That's my yard. So if this is a natural resource, who owns it? It's owned by the people? Well, then we really should... Are we talking about the same place?
But I mean, isn't it possible to drill for oil and do little pipelines and stuff without killing the animals? I mean,
well, of course it is.
I mean, isn't it possible?
Of course it doesn't
look great, but at least, you know, you're not, I don't know, becoming more dependent on stuff overseas. But,
well, that's right. We reach energy independence. And, you know, I'm not for wholesale destruction of the environment or
lack of
environmental controls or, you know, my wife is on me all the time about that very subject. What about the poor animals? What about them? Well, yes, put them aside a little place, buy it, take care of it, pay it. People do that all the time. There's nothing that stops them, and they should just do that. So if they want to buy up that entire spot and don't let anyone in, I'm sure they can negotiate something.
You'd mentioned earlier about the federal government owning a lot of land, you know. Check this out. According to...
like $140 trillion.
Let's see. Federal government owns more than 28% of the land in 12 different Western states.
That's 82% of Nevada.
And Nevada, I've got the on the list here.
Nevada, they're the number one.
84%. Yeah. Oh, they bought some. 85%. How did, what?
They
own 85% of the feds do?
My last figure showed 82%.
This is 84.9 according to
Holy
this.
Holy cow, look at that.
So what's that about? What are they doing with that land?
Holding it.
Because someday they'll sell it?
I know that the BLM has been securing and perfecting titles, which is what caused some of the standoffs, you know, with the ranchers and things like that. They're, you know, what people view as public land, they're saying, well, it's not really public. It's ours. So they're trying to exert the sort of property ownership that a private property owner.
The government is.
Yes.
Utah, 65% they own.
Of the whole state.
Of the whole state. Yeah. Idaho, 61%.
That's
Alaska,
right.
They already own 60% of the state.
That's right. Yeah. And I think.
Oh, so that's probably ANWR.
Well, it's the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Right.
That's
right.
ANWR.
Uh-huh.
Right.
No wonder Oregon is so loopy lefty. The Gov owns 53% of them. Wyoming, 50%. California, the government owns 45% of California.
I'll tell you what, man. They own that coastline, San Diego there, where they have the 29 Palms, San Diego Air Base, whatever they... I mean, this is oceanfront property. I don't know why the Air Force or the Marines in this case needs oceanfront property to land their jets. But let's go ahead and land those in Nevada and sell that, you know, waterfront real estate to the highest bidder.
Colorado, they own 35%. Arizona, they own 39%.
Yeah.
The Gov. Montana, they own 30%.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just say this land is worth whatever, trillions, I don't know, billions of dollars?
$144 trillion.
Is that the number?
That's the number I've got.
144 trillion.
But remember, I had 82% of Nevada.
Yeah.
So.
Why couldn't they back their currency with that?
Amen. Yeah. Why wouldn't a land bank work for that? Yeah.
How would that work?
Well, you have to get a copy of my new book. The land bank concept was originated in the United States, and it basically says, well, gold and silver coin can be money, but land is money too.
Okay.
Land has value. So let's say we're going to put a random number of $1 an acre on land, and for every 10 acres you own, you can issue $10 in land bank notes. Simple concept, easy, backed by the land, not by promise to pay, but by the land. So if you pay back the loan that you took, then you keep your land. If you don't, you lose your land.
Oh, so you actually go to the bank and they give you dollars for your note?
Correct. Allow you to issue notes based on...
So it's the same principle.
Same principle as a mortgage.
Well, same principle for the Gov. They got $144 trillion worth of land.
Right.
That could cover a lot of dollars.
Of course. Of course it could.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Of course.
That's a great idea.
Of course.
Social credit.
Yeah, of course. Mr. Mnuchin and Mr. Trump...
No, they don't like that.
They don't like strong dollars.
No.
Right?
No.
So this is not going to work for them.
No.
All right?
Plus, it cuts out the interest that banks, regular banks, enjoy.
Oh, yeah. No.
So think of the land bank as the Bank of North Dakota.
Yeah.
So state-owned bank that underwrites things, takes in the state's deposits, and then loans them out and makes a profit. And the profit reverts to the treasury because it's owned by the state. So the way it is now, the banks enjoy enormous revenues. And the only way the state gets their hands on it is by taxing a portion of those revenues. If, in fact, the bank itself, imagine if the Federal Reserve Bank was owned by the treasury or the Congress and all revenue that came in there went straight into the treasury.
Imagine.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't have a debt problem. We'd have a surplus problem.
We'd have a surplus.
We'd be like Sweden, how to spend all this extra money.
So if you have land...
There should be a lot less rich bankers.
Yeah, if you have land or gold or minerals or agriculture and stuff, and you wanted to back your currency with that, it's...
What do you mean, like Qatar?
Qatar, or, you know, some places in the Middle East, they'd like to do this and get off the dollar and all that. But... And unless it's exchangeable, it really doesn't matter, does it?
That's the name of the game.
In other words, unless you can take a dollar and exchange for you know, cup of dirt out of Nevada. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yes, I do.
It doesn't really matter.
Unless it's redeemable.
Is it the word redeemable or exchangeable?
That's the one, redeemable.
Redeemable. So unless it's redeemable, it's just smoke and mirrors, essentially, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Pretty much, right?
The only thing it does, and this is also, you know, when the Federal Reserve Act was written and the authority of the Federal Reserve to create money without necessary backing was severely restricted and hampered. And any scheme, and this is why the land bank scheme is so attractive.
Right.
And the Bitcoin scheme is because of the finite supply. So it's only when you have an infinite supply and they can just keep creating it without any limit that a system tends to run into rough patches. But when a system is physically limited, which is, you know, again, the main Bitcoin pitch, that there's only going to be so many, there can't
only
be any more.
So many.
Well, that's the case with land. There's only so much of it, and you're going to make $1 an acre. See, and this is the revaluation part. Where Congress would suddenly pass a law and say, oh, okay, well, we've issued $1 for every acre that we have, so now we're going to change the standard to $2 an acre, and now we can issue twice as much.
Oh, good for us.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but this is done in public, much the same that they were forced whenever they reduced the gold content. I was talking to somebody yesterday about a $5 gold piece from 1807. That's one of the coins I have in inventory right now. Mm-hmm. And it was struck way back when the standard was first adopted. And you lay it, it looks closer to a modern-day $10 gold piece because the gold content was so much greater. And what happened is every time Congress decided to reduce the amount of gold in the coins, they did nothing that affected the value of previous coins. So suddenly you have an 1807 $5 gold piece that has $5.50 in gold in it in the new standard, and people just melt them. And so that's how we lose coins to attrition. But it's also how the Congress sets the weight and measure of what a dollar is. So they said it was this much gold, and then people used it and took payment in it and $5 gold coins that had the first weight. Then they reduced the weight. Okay, well, all $5 gold coins from now on will be smaller. So that didn't affect the payment that you already received. That did nothing to the money that you already stacked up. That money suddenly appreciated in value. So a devaluation actually made you more money than you would have had you left it in notes and now had to cash it in for the new $5 gold piece. You wouldn't get the old one, even though you earned the money in 1807 when the standard was much higher. Now when you go to cash it in, you're going to get the smaller coin, the smaller standard. That is the entire concept of devaluation and the ability of them to hide the underlying substance altogether so that now the only thing they're issuing are notes that are backed by what? Well, full faith and credit of the United States. That's it.
My favorite thing.
There's no specific amount of land or specific amount of gold or anything along those lines.
So, Andrew, let's take a case like, Zimbabwe. Okay, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We know or we believe and we're told that they've got billions worth of good stuff in their ground, right?
Right.
Gold, yes. Silver, titanium.
Yes.
Oil.
Rare earth minerals.
Yes, rare earth minerals. They are just loaded, lithium, which is why everybody likes to keep the chaos going down there, the boys, so they can steal their stuff. I mean, we know that, right? China's down there. Right. United States is down there. They're just down there. So why couldn't a place like Zimbabwe have all this wealth and somehow create a currency with some kind of juice and get sovereign and get these people out of their country and start taking care of their people if they had the political will, which is a whole, you know. I
mean, you're describing Venezuela under Hugo Chavez.
Yeah, that's what Chavez tried to do, right?
That's what he tried to do.
Before they tried to kill him 12 times.
Well, he nationalized all the oil companies.
Which means the government owns
his
stuff.
Yeah, they're ours now. Get out of here.
Okay.
You know, Exxon and all you guys.
You guys out.
Get out of our country.
That's not why they tried to kill him. Oh, excuse me.
You think?
Okay. Forget it. Okay.
Well, all I know is that now he's got all those oil-producing assets, and he takes the oil and effectively backs his social programs. That's what he did. So he took the revenue from the oil stream,
right,
and he invested in clinics and hospitals.
Which is what Gaddafi did.
Oh, another guy. Look at that. Yeah. Now that you mention
it. But he did have a problem because somebody shot him. But I don't know.
Chased him out of a hole.
I know, it's a coincidence.
Oh, wait, that was the other one.
It was a coincidence that he got shot. But okay.
It is.
And he got liberated. But it's a coincidence.
It seems that every leader, and we, you know, we've said every president who's tried to alter the monetary system has met with demise.
Demise.
Lead poisoning.
So.
But every leader in any country who attempts to nationalize the natural resources of the company or the country, and then use that money for internal benefits and improvements.
They get liberated.
Yeah, because they're depriving the competition from coming in and doing the very same thing.
But that's not nice.
No, it's not
nice. Bad karma.
Very bad juju.
So that's why Zimbabwe can't do it, because they just got too many strings and dirty politicians on the payroll to not do it, right?
It's corrupted completely, and I would imagine there are already plenty of deals in place that are corrupting or abusing their natural resources.
Sure.
And I'm sure they're not too worried about the environment over there and, you know, what companies are allowed to do to extract this wealth.
Millions of people with nothing, man. They got no currency. They got
and
no
they'll
food.
Get nothing.
They got
and
nothing.
Nothing. But you can bet that their natural resources will make some very wealthy Chinese and some wealthy Germans and wealthy Americans.
They're all over there, you know, salivating over that stuff, right?
And making deals left and right.
Yeah.
And then making sure that the regime is in place that can enforce those deals. So all of this goes hand in glove with meddling in foreign elections.
Yeah, but, well, that's what I was about to say. If you do that, then you really are meddling in foreign. And the United States wouldn't do something like that because only Russia does that.
I forgot.
All right, well, just keep that in mind.
I keep forgetting.
The United States wouldn't do that.
No, we're better than that.
Finally this morning, Golden Mice Slacks, one of our favorite places. Here, you want to hear three reasons why they're now bullish on gold?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So here's what they're here. Our commodities team view is gold at 1250 is over 12 months as a higher real rates from Fed tightening could put further pressure on gold. But this may be offset by three things. All right. Lower returns on U.S. equity, as we expect, should support a more defensive investor allocation.
Yeah, when the stock market starts to crunch.
Buy gold.
It's amazing to me. Patrick, when gold is 1180 to 1250 and I'm screaming my head off, buy gold coins, right? I'm screaming. People ignore me. But suddenly when, you know, it's 1500 and they're on the nightly news every night talking about how it's going up, then that's when people want to buy.
They call you and they go.
I don't know what to
say. So Golden Mice Slacks are just now saying.
They agree.
They agree. Yeah. Okay. They also say EMSGDP, what? Emerging market probably.
Yeah.
Acceleration would add purchasing power to emerging market economies with high propensity to consume gold.
Right.
Okay. India. So India, these kind of places, all the Middle East, as they get their thing together a little bit.
Yeah.
So this is going to put more pressure on gold. China.
Yes, it is.
And then Golden Mice Slacks expects gold mine supply to peak this year.
Yeah, I've heard about peak gold, and I'm hearing more and more about it every day. Remember, we used to talk about peak oil.
Peak oil.
Where the amount of oil being drilled, you know, exceeds the growth that they project.
Right. But generally, though, if Golden Mice Slacks is saying something, usually it's going to be the opposite.
The opposite.
So I'm not sure if this is a good thing for gold.
Well, you know, they have to make their living by advising investors, right? They are an investment bank. So when it's the commodities division that says this as opposed to the president, then I'll pay attention. If it's Blank Fine coming out and telling us something, then I'm really going to count on the spin. But when it's the, you know, hard rock analysts that do the work, yeah, I'll take their word for it. They know what they're talking about.
Something we didn't mention, Supreme Court 9-0.
Yeah.
Says the travel thing that Mr. Trump,
President Trump wants to do
is okay.
Yes, it is.
And this is with the four lefties and five or whatever they got now. I don't know what the political mix is.
Well, 9-0. when you get it down to boiling it down to really ruling on the law, they have to do what they have to do, and I'm proud of these justices, even
9-0.
The lefty ones. Yeah.
Did they report that on the media? I haven't seen much of that. 9-0. Did you see some of the tweets that the president put out after this thing came out?
No, I didn't.
He's hilarious. You know?
He is funny.
You just got to check out his tweets every now and then.
I'll check his Twitter feed because I'm on it.
He has so much fun. It's like sometimes, let's see the latest one. Sometimes referred to as the guardian of Amazon not paying internet taxes, which they should, is fake news. What?
The guardian of Amazon.
Oh, Amazon, yeah. Washington Post.
Right.
What's he saying here?
They don't pay internet taxes.
And
so when you buy an item in Texas from Amazon, you don't have to pay sales tax.
And what's the president saying here?
That the mainstream media is guarding them, making sure that they're not called upon to do this, collect sales tax nationwide.
Uh-huh. For some of the fake news media out this morning, Mr. President said, likes to say that I'm not totally engaged in healthcare. Wrong. I know this subject well, and I want a victory for the United States. So they keep pitching that he's just out of touch.
He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no experience.
He's just having
dinner. He's not an experienced politician.
He's just having dinner with Melania. He's not doing anything else. Right?
Spending time at the golf course.
Right
down the road, by the way. I'm very proud now. He doesn't go back to Trump Tower anymore because the security costs are too high.
Yeah.
So he comes out here to New Jersey, Bedminster.
Does he?
And he stays there. Yeah. 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 Proud to have him.
Thank you, Donald.
Oh, yeah, sure. I just drive over.
I think you should get on his economic team.
I think
he would be a good
asset. No, the closest I'm coming to that is we've convinced Kellyanne Conway to come to Bergen County to help us raise money for the Republican election in the fall.
Have you really?
So that's about as close as I'll get to it. If we can use some star power to empower some local candidates to get in and make a difference, well, we'll use it.
Are you going to be able to meet Kellyanne?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's from New Jersey too.
Really?
So we're all neighbors, and when you get into a small environment like the Bergen County Republican Organization, it's easy to meet people. Yeah.
Well, get a cell phone number in case you want to, be able to give her some ideas for Mr. Trump.
I have it, but I wouldn't dare abuse it for that because you don't think that he doesn't have everybody and his Aunt Susie. Everything that I know, I assure you, they know. There's like nothing that I'm going to tell them is different.
Really?
They just have to deal with everybody. I've got the I don't care whose foot I step on attitude. When it comes to the American monetary system, I want something that works for the people. Mm-hmm. And they want something different.
Yeah. So. Well, great show today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's going on in your world up there in Hawthorne, New Jersey? Anything?
Hair's on fire, man. Running out of time. Shut down. Pension debacles in every state.
Again, you really think there's something
running out of
really
time.
Dumb is
running
happen,
out of time. Yeah, no. I was asked yesterday where I'm going on vacation, and I'll say 2018. I'm definitely
really
not. No, working through the summer. So that's typically the area of the doldrums in the coin market where people go on vacation, they don't think about things, but I'm going to be here working, and I'm going to be trying to get my hands on every rare coin I can find that was minted by the mint, and I'll have something for everyone's price range. So you're not going to hear, we're out of this or we're out of that. So give us a call if you're interested. Learn what's going on. The number is 800-468-2646 for you WAR people out there. Wayne and I talk like we're in a bar. Sometimes we don't do the commercial part. So if you didn't get the number, it's 800-468-2646. Give us a call.
Andrew, finally, if you're on a game show,
uh-huh.
Prize is $1 million. Federal Reserve knows. Okay. And the host asks you if we really have a kaboom like 2008, and this kaboom is called whatever, the big kaboom, and you're on a game show, and they knew the answer, what month would you give them in year to something could really, the worm could start to turn?
No later than October 15th of this year.
Really?
In 2017.
Really?
Yes.
Andrew.
Sorry.
Really?
It's getting ugly.
That's what you would answer.
It's getting ugly.
Really?
It's getting very ugly.
October of this year?
October 2017.
And you're suggesting we're going to have a Great Recession kind of thing bigger
than... Well, I mean, they're going to have to really... I should say.
Okay.
If the president gets his tax plan in, if he can repeal an ACA, if his agenda starts to play out instead of this gridlock that we're experiencing now,
right,
that might change my attitude. But if these guys can't get their act together, by early September, they're going to be out of money. They're going to be arguing over shutting down the government again. And just like when you reboot your computer, sometimes it doesn't start again. And I'm just fearful that this reboot might just get real ugly. So that's why October is my kind of drop-dead date. And I would rather be prepared for October and nothing happen than to not be prepared and find my life's work destroyed. Right.
But so is it possible this whole pension fund thing,
it could get papered over.
Is it possible that that could come to like a perfect storm in the fall as well?
Yeah, if you know Illinois doesn't get its act together, doesn't pass a budget for a third year in a row, and it can't pay its bills, which are legendary, and is cut off from access to the credit markets, at the same time that the federal government is going through the same thing. Perfect storm. It's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
It could, you know, if the worst of everything plays right out, which you can expect in politics, then it could be so bad that it would be the beginning of another financial collapse.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
Hey, they might dodge their way around it. We'll keep an eye on them, but I just don't have a lot of hope anymore.
All right, Andrew. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
Patrick Timpone, the One Radio Network edition of Andrew Goss for June 28, 2017. Please pass on these links to everyone that you care about. 2 hours and 45 minutes today of a great education on how the deal works, where the bodies are buried. We'll see you in the morning with the Masseys on One Radio Network. Thanks for everything.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
All right, partner, that was fun. Good job.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, real fun.